Hello and welcome to another episode of From Africa to the World with me, Yavi Madere. Today, we end 2021 International Women's Month on a high. I am joined by behavioral therapist, qualified coach, founder of the School of Confidence, founder of Esteem Executive Coaching, the executive director of Esteem Hub Africa, and fellow African podcaster, the one, the only, Princess Du Agbadu.
I need to ask you, how do you, let's come back to you, right? So you are giving of yourself so much in terms of coaching and mentoring, you know, helping young girls and women in such devastating state, you know, in such a devastating state, child marriage, rape, GBV. How do you, as a person, how do you remain strong, sane, you know, motivated, high energy? How do you do that for you?
Okay. First of all, I am a trained therapist, and during my therapy training, they told us to make friends with our classmates or our course mates, so that because on the course of life, you would need therapists in every way of your life. So I have very good, and then the best part of it is that I have a very strong support system of women. When I hear they say women can work together, it used to happen to me before. But now I have built myself that I am surrounded with strong women who are pushing themselves, pushing each other to achieve their dreams. So I have very strong women around me. When I go and I give out, I come back, I have a shoulder to lean on, to share with them, this is how my day was. And then we're able to walk through most of the challenges that happens in the course of my day. So I don't feel alone. And then I had a lot of women to support me in this vision. I support a lot of other women. So the weight is not on my shoulders alone. It's on the shoulders of the whole squad.
You know, men will never understand the power of the sisterhood. It's something that only we will ever understand. And we don't use that power. Do you agree? We don't use that. It's so powerful. We would be able to run the world if we access the power, that electricity that is in sisterhoods all over the continent, all over the world. What does that sisterhood mean to you from an Esteem Hub perspective? I know you deal with thousands of girls, young women, women at a time. Put us, give us a picture. Give us a picture of what it feels like, or what does it look like on a day when you are, you know, in a day in the life of Esteem Hub? What does that look like?
Okay, a day in my life in Esteem Hub is, some days we go to school, some days we work from the office. So the days are usually filled with a lot of reasons to smile and not to smile, because most of the girls call us every time, anytime. Some of them have graduated from high school, so they get to call us. It's so, many of the girls are so fond of us that even when they meet a boy, the boy is smiling at them. Before he asks for their number, we are their first point of call. They are able to share with us things that they can't share with their parents because they trust us to give them the best of advice. Some of them have left school, they're already in the university, but they still get to call us when they are going through anything in life. Okay, they meet a boy, he wants to take them out. They call us and then they gist us like practically everything, what he said. And we enjoy the fact that these young girls trust us so well that they know that whatever we tell them is for their own good. And so even when they want to get married, they're hiding to tell us, they're worried. And we tell them, no, once you're above 19 for us, and we know that your husband is going to allow you go to school, it's okay, we will allow you, we don't have a problem with you getting married. So it's just from this, it comes from this place of deep trust that even their parents will have to call us like, oh, come and talk to your daughter, she wants to do this, she wants to. So our days are filled with calls from these young girls, them stopping over at the office, asking questions. It's so beautiful that some of them have even started volunteering. When we want to go to school to distribute books, you see these young girls come around, those that have finished school, they come and join us, and then they are giving back to other children in less privileged communities. So it's fulfilling for us. It is.
How many girls in total? How long have you been going with the STEAM Hub? How many years has it been?
Yeah, we started in November 2017.
Okay, so it's just 3 years and a bit. How many girls, yeah, young women have you worked with over the last 3 years?
Yeah,
would you say, estimate?
Yeah. I'll say around 8,000 women and girls, because some of our gatherings we have 3,000 girls, some of our gatherings we have 4,000 girls, some of our gatherings 600, 500 girls. It depends on the size of the school or the size of the outreach. So approximately physically, close to 8,000 girls. Then online, we have a wider audience than that. So, but physical appearances, physical meetings, about 8,000 women and girls.
And what is the impact? You know, do you run programs? What do you actually do when you talk about outreach? What do you mean when you say outreach?
Okay, we have several projects. We have the Back to School project. Back to School project, yeah, is stemmed from the idea, we usually go to clubs. We have self-esteem hub clubs in secondary schools where we teach them on confidence, self-esteem, mental health, gender-based violence, and prevention of HIV and AIDS. So when we got there, we noticed that many of the girls didn't know how to read or to write, and they are in senior secondary school. So we did a research in several of the schools and found out that many of them didn't have access to textbooks. Even the books that they write in, the exercise notebooks, they don't have enough. They may have like 4 exercise books for all their subjects. So before we came to the conclusion, when we said, okay, let's help these girls in school, because if you build the self-esteem of a girl, she goes to school and she performs poorly. Many African schools, when the teacher asks you a question you can't answer, the students will laugh at you. And this is a way of breaking their self-esteem. So we decided to start mentoring the girls and teaching them academic work. So when the mentors will ask for their books, you find out that the girl has just 4 exercise books for 12 or 9 subjects. How do they read? How do they write? So we decided to say, okay, we're not just going to teach these girls that they are worthy, that they are worth it. Many of them are from less privileged communities. How do we give them a level playing ground? So we started the Back to School project, where we give exercise books to girls, and then we donate textbooks to the library, because in their schools, some of the schools don't even have libraries. So to say these girls will go to the library to read. So we started donating textbooks to their libraries so that they have access to textbooks. And the result has been amazing. Many of the girls have scaled to do very well in their external examinations, that their schools write recommendation letters to Esteem Hub. We see the confidence of the girls boosted because they can now answer questions. They are smart in class. And once a child knows that she is smart, it puts something on her shoulders that she works with. She knows that she's not stupid, she's not dumb, she's not dull. The level of self-worth and self-esteem is another thing. So Back to School project is one of our pet and dear projects that we carry out in communities. And I've mentioned the Esteem Hub clubs we have in schools. We also have community outreaches. We go to very, very underprivileged communities to celebrate with them, to speak to their women on gender-based violence, because some of these women don't even know what abuse is. It's normal for them. They have been abused since when they were teenagers. They keep abusing them even in their marriages, and they don't know what it is. So it's a generation of abuse. So we're going to speak to these women on abuse, on who they can speak to when they experience it, to speak to them on how best to raise their children, how to protect their daughters from community pedophiles and all of that. So those are one of the community outreach projects we do. We also go to disabled communities, we give them household equipment, clothes, books. We just make them know that for the fact that they were born different, they are not disadvantaged. They have a lot of abilities in their disadvantages. So we just want to build the self-worth in them, to make them believe in themselves, and give the best of themselves to the world. Those are some of the outreaches that we do. We also have the climate change projects that we carry out for kids. We teach them tree planting, sanitation, environmental sanitation awareness, so as to help them become responsible for the environment, even as they are children. So we believe that when kids grow up with the consciousness of climate change, they'll be able to make better decisions when they become adults. So these are some of the projects that we do. We do many more, but these are some of the ones that we carry out.
You are a saint. There's no other way of putting it. No, honestly, there's no other way of putting it. You are a saint. I'm so sad. I'm obviously so inspired, but I'm inspired by the sadness of the lives that our women live on this continent. It's just, you know, God bless you, honestly, truly. God bless you for everything that you and your sisterhood does. Who is in your sisterhood? So tell us, who is in your sisterhood? Are there, do you work with partners? Do you just do everything on your own?
Okay, sorry, I missed the question.
Oh no, don't worry. I just wanna make a note of the time so we can edit it out.
Okay.
I'm saying, who is your sisterhood? Do you work with partners? Who do you work with? How do you make all of this happen? And how do you take care of all of these people?
Okay, in Esteem Hub, we are blessed with a lot of women. Presently, we have over 70 female volunteers, passionate, active volunteers. Some of them are in Nigeria, some of them are outside the country. So now we work with our over 70 female volunteers. We also partner with other female-owned organizations, and we also have female-owned organizations serve as our donors or sponsors of some of the projects that we do. So then otherwise, we also have a lot of women come on to say, okay, I would give my service in one way or the other. They give us connections, they help us meet other people, they bring us on platforms, like what you're doing now, bringing us on platforms to share our story, because we believe that the more people know about what we do, the wider reach, the wider the audience, the wider the community that we're able to reach. It will inspire one woman or the other to know that if we can do this in our own little corner, they too can pick up the baton and run with it, because we don't want this vision to die with us. We don't want this vision to stop with us. We believe that if each woman in her own community lights her own candle, the world would not be as dark as it is. So we're grateful for all the partnership and the amazing support we get from our sisterhood.
No, absolutely. The power of women, the power of the collective. Hey, we can't put a price to that. Princess, no, tell us about you. Tell us about you a little bit. I want to know a little bit about you. What is the story about? What is Princess's story? So aside from all the work that you do, who mm-hmm. are you? What are the things that you love? What are the things that you like to do when you do have, 10 seconds in your spare time? What are some of the things that you like to do? What is Princess about?
Okay, Princess is someone who, one, loves to travel. Like, I work a lot, so when I get the time, I just want to pack my bag and travel. Princess is one who is doing most of what she's doing now because of the influence her father had on her.
Tell us.
So my dad loves astronomy. My dad made me to know about the environment right from when I was really little. He would use his binoculars. I watch stars. Till today, I still get to watch stars. And so this birthed the love of the environment for me, that I went to the university to study environment. I went back for my master's to study climatology. So I am a climatologist by profession. And I work as an environmental officer. we work in protecting the environment from people who want to, who are breaking rules, breaking protocols, and all of that. So that is basically work for me professionally. I'm an environmentalist. I'm an environmental advocate. So those are things I do. I love to read. I love to travel. I love to have fun. That's who I am.
You're going to come visit me in South Africa. We'll have fun together. I thought I was the only person in the world who had six titles and six jobs. So we're going to have 12 jobs between you and I. You have to come visit me in South Africa. We can have fun a whole weekend.
I would take your offer. I'm not joking.
Since you love to travel and you love to pack your bag, then I think the next meeting we have will be a work meeting in inverted commas. We'll spend 20 minutes talking about work and the rest of the time we'll have so fun.
Yeah, I would love to.
Please do. Anytime. So I want to ask you as we end off this podcast, which has been, you know, I've got goosebumps as I'm talking to you in terms of all the things that are happening and the things that you are working on. But if you had a message, you know, the 12-year-old girl that started this whole thing, that 12-year-old girl, if you had a message for her, what would it be, knowing what you know today?
I'll tell her to worry less, because she will have to worry less. She should just believe in the process. The universe has her covered. She may not have it all figured out, but as she keeps growing, life will keep unfolding itself to her. And for the fact that she has this desire to do good, everybody and every resources that she needs, the universe is automatically going to align to make it happen for her. If she could work with this consciousness, she wouldn't have to worry. She wouldn't have to.
I'm so grateful to you for sharing your journey, for sharing your story, for telling us the stories of all the other women. This is just a first conversation. We're going to have so much more experiences together and so many more conversations. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your journey with me.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really enjoyed every minute of it.